James 4, verse 11, says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren." Tonight, the Lord willing, we'll carry on in our study of Richard Baxter on backbiting or gossip. Backbiting is just what it sounds like. It's biting someone in the back, though not with your teeth. It's biting with your words. You've been gossiped about and not liked it much. But if you're honest, you have to admit that you've done the same to others. Solomon says you have. "Do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your own servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others." That's Ecclesiastes 7, verses 21 and 22. We've all listened to rumors and repeated them as true. Yet the popularity of gossip doesn't make it any better. It is a terrible sin that we ought to repent of from the heart right now. And I pray that we'll do so by God's grace. Baxter's study is made up of three parts. In part three, he tells us how wicked backbiting is, some of the damage it does, the way it dishonors God and hurts you, for example. In part two, he tells us how to quit gossiping, what steps to take to bridle that uncontrollable tongue. And in part one, he carefully explains the sin of backbiting. And he does it with a series of probing questions. Last week, we looked at the first five. Here they are in plain English. Number one, if I'm not allowed to backbite, must I say that a bad person is good? Answer, no, it's better to say nothing at all. Number two, if I say nothing at all, am I approving or covering up his sin? No. If you have something to say, you should say it to his face and not behind his back. Number three, may I repeat what a good, honest person says about someone else? Answer, no, not without good evidence of his guilt and a compelling reason to talk about it. Number four, may I speak out against someone who obviously hates God? Answer, not without proof of his sin and a good reason to bring it up. Number five, may I discredit someone who is leading others astray because they trust him? Answer, you may never do evil that good may come. That's what the old Puritan has said so far. And if half of what he said is true, I have a lot to confess. I have a lot to repent of, because very often I've done all five of these things and sometimes justify them as being in God's will. But these things are not agreeable to God's will, not when I do them, not when you do them. Fact of the matter is that we ought to be very, very careful about the way we talk of other people, especially behind their backs. Now let's move on to tonight's study. Again, there's a series of questions, four questions for tonight. Number one, what if the person is one whom I cannot speak to face to face? Answer, you must let him alone until you have just cause to speak about him. I don't need to labor this one. What if you see someone sinning? You want to talk to him about it, but for some reason or other you cannot do it. Maybe the circumstances prevent it, or maybe he's hard to talk to, or maybe you feel intimidated, or something else. Are you then allowed to criticize him behind his back? No, you're not. Well, what do? You see someone sinning, you'd like to talk to him, but you can't, and you also can't talk behind his back. What do? Well, the short answer is, you wait on the Lord. If the Lord wants you to rebuke the sinner, He'll work things out so that you can do it face to face. Pray for an opportunity. Take the opportunity when it comes up. And if it never comes up, leave the reproof to God or someone else. The Bible says, as much as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. If God does not give you the opportunity to speak to a sinning brother, then God will bring about a reproof from somebody else. Don't worry about it. The Lord will use someone else to bring the sinner to repentance. Maybe someone better at it than you are. In any event, if you can't rebuke the person to his face, don't do it behind his back. That's number one. Number two, what if the person is one who has been often rebuked in vain? May not his faults be mentioned behind his back? I confess that such a one has forfeited his honor more than anyone else has. But even the most impenitent man's sins must not be meddled with by everyone at his pleasure, but only when you have just cause. Here Baxter is very careful. Do you know why you're not supposed to talk about people behind their backs? It's because it hurts their reputation. There is a charge lodged against him without giving him a chance to defend himself or to hear the other side. And that cannot be right. Even the Pharisees knew that. Even old Nicodemus said, "Does our law judge any man without hearing him or knowing what he's doing?" The implied answer is, of course not. Justice demands that you hear both sides of every story. And if I come over to you and whisper to you about Norm's terrible faults, you're only hearing my side, not Norm's. And so it's unjust to listen to me. But what about the man you have talked to? You've talked to him over and over and over again. This man is so publicly notorious that he's got no reputation to guard. Is it right then to talk about him behind his back? Baxter says it is not. You know why not? Because you have better things to talk about. God does not command you to mind everyone else's business. What good does the gossip do you? What good does it do the people who you talk to? Move on. Dirty laundry should only be aired when it's absolutely necessary. Now let me tell you a story. This person is real. I know a woman who was badly hurt by her pastor. As far as I know, the man did it on purpose, and he never apologized. The woman never got over the hurt. And now, 25 years later, you can't talk to her for 5 minutes without her bringing up the pain this man inflicted on her. Her bitterness comes out in almost every word, and every bitter word makes her more and more bitter against the man. 25 years ago, she should have moved on. She should have learned to talk about something else. She should have read Psalm 1 and learned that the godly or blessed person meditates not on every wrong done to him, but on the law of the Lord day and night and meditates in it. Talk about something else. If you can't think of anything else to say, just be quiet. That itself is valuable. Even a fool, when he holds his tongue, is counted wise, and he who shuts his lips is esteemed a man of wisdom. Mark Twain said, "I'd rather keep my mouth shut and have everyone assume I'm a fool than to open it and remove all doubt from the case." And so, if a person's reputation is so bad that you can't damage it any more than it is, don't take pleasure in talking behind his back. Talk about something else. A wholesome tongue, the proverb says, is like a tree of life. And Paul tells us to let no corrupt communication proceed from our mouths, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might minister grace in the hearts of the hearers. Is it ministering grace when you're talking someone down? Now, everybody knows he's a scoundrel, but is it producing grace in the hearts of others? Are you communicating God's mercies by saying, "Hey, did you hear the one about Joe? What he did? He did this, he did that. You all know this. We all know what a terrible scoundrel Joe is, but we talk on and on and on and on about it. Does nobody any good. Simply move on." That's number two. Number three, when may we lawfully speak about another person's faults? Is it ever right to criticize someone to other people? If a young believer asks you about a radio preacher, is it all right for you to say, don't listen to him, he's a heretic? Or is that backbiting? If a naive girl is being misled by a Casanova, are you permitted to warn her to say, listen, he's up to no good, stay away from him? Or is that backbiting? If you know someone's a con man or a crook, can you warn people against him with a good conscience, or are you gossiping? This is really the heart of the matter. Not every negative word is backbiting. There is a place for warning by name. Jesus Christ did that. John the Baptist did that. And Paul in particular named names. He singled out Alexander the coppersmith, has done me much harm. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. Hymenaeus and Philetus hold to doctrines that eat like a cancer. Why, he even tore into a whole population of Crete, calling them liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And all of these things are in the Bible and have God's approval. Thus, it's not wrong in every case to say bad things about people. But under what circumstances is it right to speak out against them? When and how can we point out men's faults to other people? Well, the first three are negative. You may not say bad things about people, number one, to pass the time of day. You may not criticize others to pass the time of day. Now, that all by itself is going to cut about 90% of your gossip out. Most of the gossiping that we do is, frankly, just making small talk. We've got nothing else to talk about. We get together, one person brings up my fault, then somebody else brings up my fault, and he says, you think that was something, you should see this fault. And before you know it, we're talking just to pass the time of day. Baxter says, under every circumstance, that's wrong. Number two, you may never talk about a person to please others who are gossiping. You say, hey, did you hear that one about Mike? Oh, he's a real rotten scoundrel. You think that's bad? Let me tell you what I saw him do. See, you're pleasing each other. Sort of like playing tennis back and forth. That's the idea. You may never do that. Number three, you may never speak behind someone's back because he doesn't belong to your church or to your denomination or to your political party or to your economic class or to your race or something else. You have no right to speak evil of people just because they're Methodist, just because they're Mexican, just because they're rich, just because they're in another Reformed Baptist church. You're not allowed to do that at all, ever, under any circumstance. That's a party spirit. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 specifically condemns us for that party spirit, loving our own selves so much that we despise everybody else. Never are these things allowed. Again, about 95% of gossip is already taken care of. Now, the others are positive. You may say bad things about someone to his face in love. You can always do that. Again, love does cover a multitude of sins, but more serious sins ought to be reproved, gently reproved, but still reproved. Galatians chapter 6, 1 says, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So it's always right when a sin is serious and when you really think the person is doing it without knowing what he's doing is wrong, then it's always appropriate to speak to the person to his face and to do it in humility and love. Then secondly, you're also allowed to talk about matters of legitimate church discipline. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, you see that church discipline is not designed for every weakness. In fact, church discipline is not designed for every sin. If it were, then every person in every church would be under church discipline. But church discipline is designed for serious and impenitent sins. We see this in the case of 1 Corinthians 5. It's a man living in notorious adultery. Once the facts are known, facts, not speculation, you're not allowed to speculate, you're not allowed to say, well, I saw him smile at her, and so we know they're up to no good, not allowed to do that. But once the facts are in, once it's known what's going on, then it is permissible to speak about it behind that person's back, but not for your own pleasure. Not to feel good about yourself by comparison. It is legitimate to talk about these things for the purpose of church discipline. Then number three, you may say bad things about someone when he's committed a crime and you speak to the police or the district attorney or the judge. Christians are citizens of two worlds at the same time. We're citizens of heaven and citizens of our own country. And as citizens of this country, we owe a certain debt to our civil rulers. And so if someone has committed a crime and you're asked about it on a witness stand, you're allowed to say, yes, I heard him threaten her. Or yes, I saw him steal the car. Something like that. That's permissible. And then the fourth one, and this is one we really need a lot of wisdom from God, because this is certainly true, but there are a lot of gray areas connected to it. And so let me just tell you what it is, and then we'll talk about some of these gray areas. You may say bad things about someone to save others from great harm. You can do that. That's permissible. For example, if you know your neighbor is a child molester, you can lawfully warn parents to not let him babysit their kids. Now that's a real black and white issue there. But what about the gray areas? Here you've got to really pray for wisdom. You have to really pray for wisdom, really pray for humility and discernment. And so if you're going to save people from great harm by warning them against someone, then you're allowed to do that. But remember, you're only allowed to warn them if you know something bad about the person, not merely suspect it. In short, if you're going to speak out against someone behind his back, you've got to do it in justice and in love. It's never for the purpose of entertainment. It's never for the purpose of making yourself feel good by comparison. It's never for the purpose of just passing the time of day. You've got to have a real reason to do it, and the reason has to be consistent with justice and love. And here I should add, it's got to be a reason you can tell God about. Remember, the last verse of Ecclesiastes says that God will bring everything into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. If you can't tell God about it and ask Him, Lord, bless me when I speak out against him. Please accept my words as a holy offering to you. I'm not doing it to make myself look good or to pass the time of day. If you can say it honestly, open-facedly to God, then you can say it to other people as well. That's number three. And now number four is this. Are we bound to reprove backbiting in this age when honest people are grown used to it? All this study we've been talking about listening to gossip or gossiping ourselves. But now he says, are you allowed to rebuke someone for gossiping to you? We've been talking about his faults, her faults, their faults, so on. But now, am I allowed to call you on gossiping to me? Is that all right? And then Baxter says, most of all, that you may stop the stream of this common sin. Ordinarily, whenever we can do it without doing greater harm, we should rebuke the tongue that reports evil things. Backbiting is a terrible sin. And because it's a terrible sin, it ought to be reproved, especially because it's such a respectable sin. And people do it all the time without even thinking it's wrong. So that means when others gossip to you, pull them up short and say, let's talk about something else. You don't have to be obnoxious about it, self-righteous about it, draw back, recoil. Oh, how can you possibly say such ugly things to such holy ears as mine? Nothing like that. But you can very gently reprove the person who starts to gossip. Did you hear what Norm did? Hey, did you hear what Gladys did? Let me tell you. You can say, let's talk about something else. Or, I don't think this is a good topic of conversation. But then what if someone calls you on it? You're the one saying, hey, did you hear the one about Bill? Hey, did you hear the one about Mike. What if someone calls you on it? What do you do? Well, here's what you do. You tend to defend yourself. You tend to say, oh, no, I don't mean this in gossip. I just want you to pray about it. Oh, no, no, brother, I just want to bring this up. I just need your advice on whether I should talk to him or not. Now, if someone calls you on it, take the rebuke with some grace. Don't defend yourself. There's a proverb that says, the north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. And there's a certain textual question on this verse as to exactly what it means. Does it mean that just as the north wind brings rain with it, so backbiting tongues bring anger? That's possible. But I think the old King James Version has got it better. It says the opposite. It says that the north wind drives away rain. In the same way, an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. When you become the kind of person who won't listen to this stuff, people stop telling you this stuff. See, when you listen to backbiting, you encourage others to keep doing it. So the best advice I can give you is to quit listening. Again, don't be rude about it. Don't be holier than thou. Just change the subject. Or speak a gentle word of correction. 9 times out of 10, that will be enough. If it isn't, avoid the backbiter. You're better off without such company. And so these are 9 questions and answers on the subject of backbiting. And I think our to-do list starts with confession. Backbiting is a very awful sin, and let's face it, you're guilty of it. And I'm guilty of it. You've gossiped to me, and I've gossiped to you. Let's be honest about it. Let's start off by confessing our sins honestly to the Lord. But then let's not stop there. Confession is a means to an end. It's not an end all by itself. What confession intends to do is to get a good conscience, which will allow you to repent of the sin. Not just confess, that's good. But we confess the sin, and then we go on to repent of the sin. And we repent of the sin or quit doing the sin by first pleading with God for grace to overcome it. Acknowledging its power over you, the habit you've gotten into. And begging God to point it out to you and to help you to overcome it. And then the second part of that is replacing gossip with something else. That's the verse I referred to earlier this evening. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Quit gossiping, in other words, and start speaking ways that minister grace to the hearts of the hearers. I can probably count on 1 and certainly 2 hands of people that I've known well in my life who never gossiped. It's a breath of fresh air to be around these people. Just what a blessing it is. No matter whose name you bring up, no matter what topic is discussed, they've always got something holy and loving to say. And you always go away from that conversation better than when you started it. This is what you ought to be. It's what I ought to be. We really need to confess the sin of backbiting, repent of that sin, and replace it with a vocabulary of love. And so what are we going to do about it? We've got a choice right now. Assuming that you agree with what I've said, I can't see how anyone could argue with it, any Christian. But assuming that you agree with what has been said tonight, you've got a choice. You can be a hearer of the Word, or you can be a doer of the Word. If you choose the former, then know that you are not pleasing God. Hearers of the Word who don't obey are like men who build houses on sand, and when the flood comes, their houses wash away. Or you can be a doer of the Word. And a doer of the Word does please the Lord. And he becomes a new creature in Christ. And he's like the man who built his house upon a rock. No matter how hard the rain falls and no matter how high the flood comes, the house remains firm. So what's it going to be? Hear or do? Agree or obey? Say amen or put it into practice? You know what the right thing to do is. Now God give you the grace to do it, and me too, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, you are a holy God. You hear every word we speak. You hear the words that we whisper in our beds. You hear the words that we speak over our telephones. You hear the words that are spoken to us with such pleasure. And Lord, we ask you now, because you are the judge of every word spoken, to forgive us of the many evil words we've spoken. To forgive us for the pride and the ungodly curiosity that create gossip. Forgive us for the impenitence of knowing that it's wrong to do and still doing it. I pray, Lord, that you would cancel the hurt that gossip certainly does. And I pray, Lord, that you would save us from this awful sin. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for cleansing. We pray for repentance. We pray for new lives lived in the love of Jesus Christ. These are things, Lord, that we cannot generate on our own. So we ask you to give them to us by your grace. And yet, Lord, we don't want to sit by idly waiting for you to drop something in our laps. We want to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We want to be responsible people who make real efforts to stop gossiping and start speaking in a holy way. Help us, Lord, to do these things. Exalt Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, if we quit gossiping, people would know that we are different than they are. And this would be a wonderful tribute to Christ, who can change not only Pharisees and publicans into saints, but also gossips into saints. I pray that you would do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.